When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Here is the Scenario.
Full title.
Here is the Scenario.
No contractions.
I'm one of your hosts, Brendan Saglow, being joined with me as always
by Mike Cannon and also
Mike Vinnie.
Welcome to the show. If you're new, welcome aboard. Thanks for hanging out. Basically what we do here, and we're pretty much abandoning it forever. You know, like I'm cool with never reading questions again.
Are you?
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's a great safety net.
It's a safety net. Yeah. We run out of things to say. Safety net. And then we'll get into some questions and we'll ask hypotheticals, what ifs, Mary F. Kills. We haven't gotten a Mary F. Kill in forever, and I'm kind of grateful for it, to be honest. That one sucks ass.
Thanks for the jaw.
Yeah. And if you'd like to send us questions, you can go to patreon.com/scenariopod.
Yeah.
As well as get just 2 years before giving up on it completely of just content and stuff that we put out.
My well-produced.
Early raps.
Too well-produced.
From your boy, from early Sag Daddy.
Yeah.
Pre-EP.
Pre-cum
EP.
And just like everything, we were just thrown at the wall, you know, pandemic to now, you know, and which I think is very interesting. It's our own little channel. And
it's a little time capsule.
Yeah. And to get through it, you'd have to, by the time you're done, you'd walk out, you'd have a big bushy beard. If you were to watch everything that we made, you'd come out. You wouldn't know who the president was. Yeah. You wouldn't know what, you know, anything is. I mean, you'd look around and go, who's MGK? You know what I mean?
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Are you personally taking Jimmy Buffett's death really hard?
Because of the way I'm dressed? Yes. Yeah. Actually, yeah. You know, okay, hold on. What am I trying to say?
Resonate.
Here? I resonate really well with... that lyric where he goes, some people say that it's a woman to blame, but I know it's my own damn fault. Sad news. I didn't know everybody was a huge fucking JB fan. You know what I mean?
I thought he was a fucking joke. I used to do a bit about Jimmy Buffett too, which is like, it's basically on exactly that.
No,
it's
we
like,
saw you try to capitalize on
it. I did instantly.
Oh, yeah. R.I.P. This is where I'm performing. Yeah.
Jimmy Buffett, you mean everything to me. Come out to Chicago, the Den Theater.
Instantly.
Oh, gotta. I've done that too. Yeah. You gotta do it.
100%.
Nobody really cares that he's dead.
Yeah, he's I didn't even put that bit up. I guess I should have, but I just put that guy, that psycho crowd work guy from it. But
you should put it back. You should go, still thinking.
Oh, still struggling about my man JB.
Well, it's funny because I grew up like in my household, like my dad had that Jimmy Buffett is his greatest hits album called like Songs You Know by Heart.
Yeah. Which,
and it's at that bright yellow.
Great name for
it's
a greatest amazing. Hits.
It's a great cover. It's just bright yellow, red lettering, script. Just is such an easy.
Like our original logo.
Yep.
Yeah.
Just it popped. It's awesome. And it's like all those songs are like, so I grew up like Jimmy Buffett was like very prevalent around my household of like, I know all those songs. And then when I worked at Splish Splash, they played Jimmy Buffett all the time. So it's like, so I always felt like he was one of those bands that got like shit on, you know, the Nickelback. So he got lumped
was
in
Beach Nickelback.
Yeah, like like the, you know, like akin to like the Shane Torres Guy Fieri thing where you're like, if you actually look at it on the surface, like that guy has the life that every single one of us wants. Like he knew exactly.
What did Jimmy Buffett really do?
Yeah.
Anybody?
He like all he did.
Excellent.
That's a good. If you know Shane Torres, that's a great,
excellent.
That's your best impression. That's incredible.
Yeah.
Damn, I'm rooting for him then. Come on.
First time I've ever had a positive thought about Shane and his career.
He's it's just like it, he's his like the guy figured out who he was and what he wanted to be and just was like, I just want to enjoy life, sail around the Caribbean, drink, enjoy life, smoke weed. We fucking
was he an alcoholic?
No, not really. I mean,
everyone
like,
who likes him is.
No, yeah. he definitely like. Definitely got after it, but he wasn't like, I don't think he never like went to rehab. There was never that kind of, but he, which is another reason why he's like a fucking hero. He kind of got that like the patriotic, like, nah, man, I'm cool. I'll just fucking have a few margaritas.
That's hilarious.
Smoke
that's
a little weed.
A hero to an alcoholic that doesn't know he's an alcoholic. Yeah. Yeah. Everybody told him to go to rehab. He never did.
You know what?
A hero.
Fuck you. I'm your problem now.
Exactly. He's a master of moderation, you know?
Yeah, sure.
But he was like, he just came out with a song too recently, like a couple years ago with
I hope I don't die soon.
Stop calling me Jimmy Buffet. Yeah.
Like he literally, and named after Mike Cannon would actually like this. He had a song with Paul McCartney. And I think the song is called I Think the Gummies Just Kicked In.
Whoa.
I truly, yeah. It's like he's like a
look into me suing Jimmy Buffett's estate, please.
Not to mention the fact that you get a lot of money because that guy was worth over $500 million with the Cheeseburgers in Paradise, the Margaritavilles, which also there's a Margaritaville like retirement.
Resort.
No, not just resort. There's resorts, but there's also like a retirement community of that, which my mom was like,
there's the resort in Times Square.
Sweet. My mom's like, put me in that. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Any retirement
company. It's gotta be awful.
Any retirement I'm having is going to be filled with edibles and shit.
And then they, and they're like, you know, the ones in Florida, it's all like legal, all that shit too. So it's like very easy to just like, you know what I mean?
Question. Do either of you see yourself retiring? Like, is that when you, like, not dream of dreams, but just in your actual career track, how you're going to do it, whatever, blow up or not, or just make a good living.
Yeah.
Do you see yourself just kind of retiring and stopping?
I hope. Short answer, no.
Mm-hmm.
Long answer, I hope that I can get to a point where I'm, you know, people want to come out and see me, and you know they want to come out every year. And the older I get, I can retire in any place I
be
want. I don't have to live in New York. I can live in like Florida or something. Sure. And then like I can go to the nearest comedy club and like, you know, and still have that fun. And people are like, oh shit, he just stopped by. You know what I mean?
So like you're more of a, this is for fulfillment than career.
Right. I'm like Tony Hawk.
Had you made
you're going
your
to have
money.
To fucking pull me off of that skateboard.
Yeah. I feel like I there is not a world in which I can't imagine myself performing stand-up comedy, but the idea of like continuing to push the career, I would love to retire. I think more and more I'm looking for like a 5-year window where I make a crazy amount of money.
Right.
That's and then I'll disappear.
That's right. Literally,
if that's motivation enough for you guys,
I was just about to
get
say,
me
yeah.
out of here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Dude,
5 years.
That is, you don't understand. That is like absolute best case scenario is to have like a five, you get it in while get as much shit as it while you can. Dude, I was just talking to
I don't like that you kind of poo-pooed it though, but say best case scenario.
It is for all of us, is that we get a 5-year window of making an absurd amount of money. And then I was just talking to Santino about this, how we're like, it's like absolutely embarrassing. It gets stand-up comedy gets so sad the older you get, because it's like such a new art form now, where it's like after like 50, it just starts getting like 5% sadder every year when you're watching that. And it just,
I think I get what you're saying, but I
even George Carlin at the end, it's like, he's my fucking hero. And that guy, it just is like, it's just a brutal.
I disagree. I liked some of his stuff and I thought there was merit to it considering the entire arc of how he went, because I was re-listening to like people were John Stewart talking about it, and he was saying how Carlin went dark and he became like he liked when people died and he was anti-human, and he's like, I actually look at it as completely opposite. He sounds like a letdown person, like a letdown optimist
he
that
is.
Was bummed out by people. And it's like, and the more and more that I go through life, I identify with that. And then I want to kill more people.
Right.
So well, I totally get it.
He said his whole thing is he thinks that the human species is like a flawed, like it was like a genetic mistake. Like it was like in the potion of it, it was, we're a flawed, failed species. So he's like, so when you look at anything through the lens of that, it's easy to come up with like skewing towards the like, none of this really matters. Because he's like, it's all like a... It's like when you fuck up making an omelet and you're like, well, that's the messed up shitty one. So you're like, of course, the shitty ones going to have eggshells in it. And it's going to, you know what I mean? It's like, that's all part of it because we are this like.
But that was his initial tract. His initial tract was one of like, he hated things throughout his entire career, but he was pro-individual.
Well, that's actually exactly what he said. He's like, I love people on an individual thing. He's like, it's when we get together that I think that
until he started getting even older at that point, then he was like, fuck everybody. I'll die.
I mean, I've read Last Words like 15 times.
Me too.
I fucking love that
book. It's so good.
I think I think the older you get, the funnier you can be. Like, if you're just not being like too cool for school, like, trying to be dangerous kind of shit where, you know, we've talked about like when you're old and you're trying to be this like dangerous kind of like comedian, it's so fucking lame. But
I think everything can be lame. And I also think that if you're an artist, you'll figure out a way to express yourself as authentically to yourself as possible.
Right.
And if it's lame, let it be lame. I don't give a fuck. If I age into lameness, then I guess that's what happens to me.
Aged in the
lameness. That's the thing with, I think, with stand-up. It's like stand-up feels very much, there is like an element of it where it is like, you know, it is akin to rap in that it's like the older you get, the harder it is for people to kind of be like, you know what I mean? To like even care, let alone like to care about your take. It's like hearing a new...
The richer, maybe. I don't know if that's older. There's definitely ageism all over the place, but I don't know, this applies to all industries. So hopefully this isn't boring everybody, but it, you know, ageism in itself, it's like you could become the rickety boss at your job, at wherever, you could completely age out of your business, all that stuff.
He lost it. And it's gone.
It's just hard to think of
that's
like
400 milligrams.
It's hard to think of like a 70-year-old where you're like, that's the best that guy is. I think if you're doing something long enough, you reach, it's almost even
No, but who, why do you need to do the best you've ever done? And why don't you just do the best you can do?
You can, but I'm saying the best you could do, it becomes diminishing returns as an athlete. As you get older, you're like, yeah, you can still, an athlete, Michael Jordan today is still significantly better than any of us will ever be at basketball.
But diminishing returns for whom? Like, obviously the audience, and that's fine. The audience will be what it is.
Yeah.
But like, if you still love it, if that's how you express yourself, if that's what you love doing.
Sure.
Then why is the return diminished?
Like, do you see yourself being like, yeah, I'm just done doing stand-up. I don't need to do this anymore.
Like the Eddie Murphy being like, I just don't need this.
Sure. Or just being like, I'm old. Nobody cares what I have to say.
I think like creating in terms of like creating comedy will always there is really no like retiring from it, which is also kind of like a thing of it, I guess, unless you're Eddie Murphy and you could just retire from stand-up, but then you're making movies or Adam Sandler or anything like that. But I think it's just like the pursuit of being like 65 and going to like the Des Moines Funny Bone
is
the most sad thing I've ever heard in my life.
No, there's way sadder shit. But yeah, it's, I mean, I've worked with several comics where, listen, if I continued on, not even now, but like, let's say like 5 years ago where I was first starting to headline. And there are people that like just start headlining and their name never kind of gets the traction that they want. They're always just either a fill in or an off night or a papered room or whatever.
I'm right here, man.
And it's
come
like,
on.
I'm saying we all,
I know, I'm making a joke
with that. It's like,
oh, and he lost it again.
That, no, that is like, that sucks. And that is sad. But again, it's like, who is it sad for? Us watching it and seeing our comedy mortality in the way that it's sad for us to see a friend die,
right,
or like get sick or whatever, or is it sad for them? Like, there are guys obviously that I've worked with that are just fucking miserable 10 minutes into comedy, or they're miserable 30 years into comedy,
sure,
and they're poison
name
humans.
Names.
But I've also met people who are 35 years into comedy. They live in fucking bumfuck New York, wherever. They tour, they make $40,000 to $50,000 a year, which they would make as a teacher, or you know, or even whatever, and they're like happy because they're doing exactly what they want to do.
Yeah, because if you're like, I still need to, the thing I would retire from and go, I'm never going near that shit again, is like online shit and like Instagram and all that stuff. But like the need to perform is,
well, live.
I think the fulfillment for a lot of those like road middles or whatever is, I think actually like
the road large utility acts. There's like there's guys that are fucking, you're like open for them one time and then they host for you the next week and you're like, what?
Yeah.
How are you going down?
Yeah.
I think a lot of that though, a lot of that fulfillment is actually not from stand up, it's from like family life and stuff like that. Like, because there's a lot of guys who are like in their 50s that you see or whatever that are like divorced, kids are out of the house, and they're like, this is like them midlife crisis searching for something, or just being like, I started this when I was young, and then I had these fucking kids, and now that they're out, now I can finally pursue my, and now they play, it's the bitter ones, you know yeah. what I mean? But I think that most people who are like, I'm happy because I have my wife, my kids, everything else, like I love my family, I also get to do this, which is fun, so I don't need the validation of getting famous and getting successful.
It's not like, so we all started where comedy was the only thing. Right. That was our love. That was our whole life. That was our dedication and our calling. And then it's like then your girlfriend or whoever you're with is like almost supplemental fulfillment to that. Right. Where it like fills the whole, you're approaching comedy, but the other stuff is like helping seal the ship and helping like keep it on the water. And then it shifts to where you have a family or you get married and you have a kid. And then that becomes the fulfillment and the comedy becomes supplemental. But that's where, in my opinion, I don't know about anybody else. I think I'm working my best with that. With comedy being not the only thing.
Of because course,
when comedy was yeah. the only thing,
it's miserable.
That's when I was the most suicidal. That's when I was the most like angry, upset, just unfulfilled and really just like,
right.
Just upset, devaluing myself because that's the only thing I had to grade myself by.
100%.
But having being a dad, being all that stuff, like it definitely helps keep the whole ship afloat.
It does. Yeah. And there is something about
to finish the metaphor about the boat.
Seeing your heroes sort of die as they age.
I'm getting seasick from this conversation.
As they age and seeing your heroes all die one by one of yeah. like, you know, the greats of some of the greats that are still doing it that you're like, all right. You know what I mean? Like it was like what like they're running. There's a couple stumbles there. You're like, this isn't what I remember, but I love them anyway. You know, that kind yeah. of a thing, which is like, that's what I'm saying. When you're like, it kind of gets a little bit more, especially the more fame you get, which again, he talks about, again, this is like the oldest thing in the book, but like every single person that's very, very famous is like, it's not it, man. Like yeah. being here is not it.
I wish I could know that it's not it yeah. while sitting yeah. on $100 million.
Right, like, sure.
It's not it. Drinking a fucking pina colada yeah. out of a coconut. So see, miserable.
Me, I'm unhappy as they kick their slave in the nuts.
Yeah. For me, I'm yeah, like,
right. And they go, oh, I have my credit card on automatic payments. I don't even look at it.
Yeah.
Like, dude, if I ever
fuck
got
you.
If I get to a point where I can just do like small theater runs, you know what I mean? And do that. Like,
yeah,
I don't need to ever be like, I want to be an arena comic. Yeah. Where you're like, I'd rather, if I could do Radio City, that would be the apex of my, like, just I mean, in terms of
September 22nd.
Yeah. I look at
I'm closing from the beginning of DiStefano.
yeah, yeah.
Are you? You're doing Radio
yeah,
doing City?
Radio
that's
City.
That's yeah, fucking really so fun. Cool, dude.
But so even taking it away from comedy for a second, because there's something about this aging thing. Like living on Earth longer, which Nicole, you're 26,
27,
27. So even like when I was 27, the cycles of life had yet to emerge for me, at least. Like there were things that I found out and, you know that as things progress, you're in danger of repeating this or in danger of these things. But like as you're in comedy or in life, you literally watch the cycle of stuff happening and it all moves in that way. And you're like, fuck, man, there's something to impermanence. And that I think that helps in with perspective where you're like, none of this shit is lasting forever.
Yeah.
What may seem like is forever. Like, I remember we talked about last episode, reading aspecialthing.com. As I'm reading that, that website will be my favorite website for the rest of my life. And all of those comedians will continue to be famous. That's like in my mind at that moment, what I'm thinking. And then right. as you live long, you're like, oh, that just like kind of filtered its way out of my life. And yeah. then they just came back as a network. So they're still kind of operating in a thing. And then these comics are doing this. And you see like the ebb and flow of career and the journey. But just that kind of stuff to where it seems much more linear at the beginning. When you start, everything seems like it just kind of moves in a line. And then as you go, this is nothing new. I guess this is just what idiots think of when they're high, but it's like, things. It's just
progress isn't linear.
It's all over the place.
But that's what's right. so strange too. When you talk about like, you know, we know many comics that are doing like theaters and everything else and selling out crazy amounts of tickets. And from what I glean from them, they're like, it's just, like the second you get to theaters, they're like, well, you have to do this. Like you have to just keep your agents and everything just want you on the road to make as much
yeah,
money
you're like
off
a
you
fucking
as possible.
Public company.
And then the second you do that, then they wanted to get you to arenas. And once you get to arenas, then they're going to want to get you in movies. And it's like, there's no time for you to ever sit back and enjoy the ride, because it's just like, what's now? Oh, you sold this out. Now we're adding a show. Now keep promoting that. It is.
There is if you dictate it, though. So with the adding shows, especially, this is what I really admire Chris for, this, because he's turned down a lot of money to do this, because he's like, I'm not adding shows.
Right.
He's like, if it sells out, it sells out. That's fucking awesome. He's like, I'd rather do another night. I don't want to do fucking two shows in a night. I'm not trying to squeeze as much money from these people as humanly possible.
Right.
I'm trying to preserve my sanity and allow me to live some sort of like a semblance of normality.
That's what I love. And I've noticed a huge change in him over the years.
Totally.
And Tim is the same way, where Tim's like, he's like, you know, other comics have done like 8 shows at the Chicago Theater. He's like, I'm fine with one. They're like, do you want to add another one? I was like, no.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, I could do more dates. He's like, but then I would, he's got a house in the Hamptons. He's like, I have a house in the Hamptons. Could I have a bigger house in the Hamptons that's closer to the beach? Yeah, probably. But then I would have to do more dates, in which case I wouldn't be able to enjoy. You know what I'm saying? Like, in order to get a bigger house, you would have to work more.
Yeah.
And then that's less time you're spending at the place that you now can afford. So you're like, so you're not actually enjoying any of it. You're just,
I'm just looking at it like, I mean, I don't even, like, I could see that in my future, but I'm not like, that's happening. You know what I mean? I'm not like being able to even play theaters as a headliner.
Theaters.
Even being able to play the theaters as a headliner I'm like, gee, I hope I even fucking get to that.
I think you're speaking from a place of insecurity right now. Cause I bet if you caught you at a confident moment, you'd be like, fuck yeah, I can see that. And fuck yeah, I should do that. Because there are times where like, you know, the ebb and flow of our self-confidence is another thing. And again, this is for all industries, not just comedy. Hopefully this is not too much inside baseball that
I think
people
this is
are
very
upset
interesting.
About. But it is like...
Nicole, is this interesting?
Yeah, and I think this is like relatable to, like Ken saying, all types of careers. Like, I've been thinking about this a lot recently too, especially within, you know, I'm just like an adjacent to you, but within our like scope of entertainment. Growing up, the only idea of success is becoming really famous, becoming like a Leonardo DiCaprio. So I feel like recently for me, I'm trying to redefine what success looks like for me and where I would be comfortable.
Which is a very,
you know what I mean?
And off exactly what you just said, here's the thing. To go back to what Mike said, 10 years ago, if you had said that exact line, in redefining what success means to me, in my mind 10 years ago, I'd have been like, well, that's a person who's failed, you know, who realized they're never going to make it.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is them lying to themselves to convince themselves like, well, I don't need to be Kevin Hart because like it looks like it sucks anyway.
But that's also
like,
part of the delusion you need to push through the initial fucking impossibility of
this gig. But it's like, but I find that like, that is so true where it's like, it's like truly being Kevin Hart looks like the most exhausting nightmare I've ever heard. Like, there's
some people are built for it.
Yeah.
I'm not.
No.
He is. It seemingly.
He very much is.
Like, somebody that has that brain, because I listened to a podcast. Stefano told me to listen to it, but it was Kevin Hart talking about finance. And I can't find a topic that I want to kill myself more to. Is just fine, because I'm just illiterate. I'm a dumb money guy. I know how to save, obviously, but when it comes to investments, when NFTs and all that shit were happening, I felt like I was underwater and everybody was getting
rich.
Well,
now everyone
rich,
that bought NFTs is underwater.
Yeah. Exactly. But you know that feeling of just like, and then scrambling, and that's how everybody loses their money. They're like me, and then they freak out and spend all their fucking money.
Right.
But like Kevin Hart, the way he was talking about how he shifted focus from being a comedian to then being a businessman is like, he's like, I'm still a comic. That is part of what I do. He's like, but at this point I would be a liar if I said I was a comic first. He's like, I'm always a comedian. I'm always a stand-up comedian. He's like, but I'm a fucking mogul. He's like, I got my hands in a lot of different shit.
He's got to have over $500,000 in the bank.
Half a million?
I mean, half a billion.
That guy's got to be worth at least 200 grand.
Yeah. Half a billion.
At this point, he's just funny Steve Jobs.
I don't want to, it's fucked up because this is my brain, right? Where I almost think that me thinking about finance is giving up on art,
right?
Which is dumb. That doesn't make sense, but that's kind of what I've brainwashed myself into thinking, where it's like, no, somebody like Kevin Hart, where is he completely my cup of tea with his stand up or whatever? It's like, no, not at all.
He's funny though. Like,
he's definitely funny.
I get why he is like, 100%. I'm like, oh yeah.
Well, he also said, he's like, I'm not trying to be funny for you. I'm trying to be funny for the world.
You're right. Right.
Which so is it's like such a
right. so different.
Yeah. I mean, like all of the comics that everyone, you know, the quote unquote comics, which I know like diehard comedy fans get obsessed with, you're like, most of them have a pretty modest bank account.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Where you're like, the comics are like, well, those are the guys making the real art out there. It's like, yeah, but also Carrot Top's doing his thing too, and he's fucking killing it. Yeah. So you're like, who's to say, yeah, there is the simplistic, maybe it's like surface level comedy, whatever, like, you know, negative connotation you want to attach to it, but you're like, there need, not every, like, Dave Attell can't do Kevin Hart's act. You know what right. I mean? Like, just like Kevin Hart
well,
can't
do... Well, for one
do,
specific reason.
Kevin Hart can't...
A lot of words you can't say.
Yeah. Kevin Hart can't do Dave Attell. You know what I mean? It's like, different people have their own way of like communicating their art and everything. And it just is like, there is a funny thing to where people like, you know, there's a lot, and the comics are notorious for this, of like tearing down other comics. Just like we are tearing down celebrities in society where you're like, yeah, but that guy sucks. And you're like, well, that arena doesn't seem to think so.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like objectively 70,000 people think that that guy's funny and 250 think that you yeah. are, you know what I mean?
Well, so like, and I think this is like a pandemic switch of focus too, where we've all seen people have a reaction to it, whether it's like, I mean, my father-in-law, whether it's radicalizing or whether it's realizing you want to start a family. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of reactions to it. And I think it made some people, it made me, it like hardened my focus for sure. I mean, having a kid did as well, but then the pandemic on top of that and all the uncertainty with our jobs, definitely like, you know, life finds a way. You're forced to find a way. You're forced to find money. But the pandemic, I think, is the first thing that put into my head that idea, to get back to the original point, of not retirement, but of just like letting go of the idea that I have to be this forever rocket ship of never give up. Rudy Rudiger nose to the fucking Notre Dame, play like a champion today. Like it's sports have fucking,
it's athlete mentality.
Yeah, dude, sports have brainwashed me into being a psychopath. And for one, it's great. It's the reason why I've been able to achieve or do almost anything, because at base I'm a nothing. So sports have just dragged me up the hill. But at the same time, they've also given me an endless will that will not shut off unless I'm killed.
Right.
And Nicole, what's your
Nicole, can you clip that and send it to me?
Right. I also think that, I had something, but yeah, I think it's the sports shit, but I also think it's, probably the same reason that any of us got into this, where it's like, you don't feel like you like good, you know yeah. what I mean? And it's like, I will feel amazing about myself and I'll feel good and complete, and the hole in my chest
that wasn't at you,
will
the ribbling of sweat down my arm.
The hole in my chest will fill once I'm whatever successful that I think I'm going to get. Once I can reach this ceiling that will be there, that will be there when I get to that point, and everyone go, stop, you're the most successful person in the world. You've figured it out, blah, 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 which never happens, which is the reason why we're like, we got to keep fucking going.
The doubt in so many comedians, I mean, Chris Rock's mind, you know what I mean? Where he's constantly like, I don't think I'm funny. You're like, ugh.
And I think this is very relatable to any other kind of business.
Well, do you know what I've been doing?
As long as we avoid calling people like citizens.
Civilians.
Like, oh my God.
You know what I've been doing? This was a thought exercise and something I've tried to journal about as well. I've been journaling. Thank you, Nicole, for the impetus to that. Is that the correct word? Impetus?
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you.
Impenis.
Thank you for the impenis of that. But I'm like, what's next? All right, I did it. Gramercy, what's next? Like, special, what's next? What am I doing next? And it's like, I'm trying my very best to not even necessarily celebrate the successes, but actually focus and celebrate on the things I've been resilient through. And the fact that I've like faced a lot, you know, all of us, but I'm talking from a personal perspective, but it's like the things that I've literally just had to fucking weather through, get through, made it to the other side, and then still had the ability and bandwidth to push forward and create something.
Yeah,
I'm trying my best to let, and I know this is G-A-Way. I'm just speaking for the voice in my own head.
Uh-huh.
But it's like, it's what has kept me on track. It's what has kept me from, you guys know, the last 6 months, I've been a fucking nightmare mentally and emotionally. So the one thing that has like kept me from losing my mind, and I told you this earlier, was like, one, I'm not going to let anything or any entity make me stop this. If I'm ever stopping, it's on my own motherfucking accord.
Right.
And two, I'm also not going to let any like internal compare despair shit discredit all of the stuff that I've done, considering that we started this from zero, truly zero,
yeah,
where nobody said we should do it.
We had no, yeah, we had no nepotism or leg up in the industry.
No, and you just decide you want to do comedy and you write jokes and you get on stage, and all of a sudden, 15 years later, you're doing a podcast.
Now, most people say you shouldn't do it.
Yeah. Well, dude, I remember though, I've kind of like always felt this way, and I do think that the podcast, the pandemic did solidify that too as well, though. But like, I always felt like the, let me do a special and then the second it's out, it's like, what's next? Like, I've always respected like what Ari does, where he's just like life experience, I think, is so vital to art and creation of like going. And people are like, I remember the amount of people that used to give Ari shit for being like, you just fucking leave for like a month, dude, and just fucking go to Sri Lanka. Like, what are you, a fucking idiot? You have all this like
Robert Kelly.
Yeah. He's like, you have all this momentum. What are you doing?
Stay in a tiny house in Panama, dude.
You have all this momentum and you have this heat and you're just walking away from it. And you're like, yeah, because that's what keeps him sane and makes him create better things. And I'm like, I always thought that that whole like, this is like building a special or an hour of comedy is legitimately, you know, figuratively, very figuratively, is like scaling a mountain. And it's like, the second you get to the summit at the top, it's like, or get to the peak of it, you plant your flag in there, and like, we're just supposed to slide down and then immediately scale it again and just do that for the rest of our lives. Sounds like the most hamster wheel rat race, where you're like, if you don't enjoy while you're up there and take in that view for all that you just, like you said, all that you accomplish and have been able to do,
or just made it through.
Then made it through and did it. It's like, it's so joyless. That's how people become joyless and miserable, and then only focused on not the work, but they get focused on the results.
Can I take it off people and say that I have been that? Like, I have been joyless. I have been that person that is not like that. This is why I'm taking such active steps to combat this, is because I was like bitter 6 months in. Like, you know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, it's weird, man. I'm so affected. I'm so sensitive to shit. It sucks. But I'm so sensitive that I can let stuff really affect my perspective, my personal view, all that stuff. So it's like, I need any trick or any kind of external force that I can either manufacture or conjure to get through this that I can.
Right. And I think the biggest comparison comedy has to climbing a mountain is the amount of dead bodies you see on the way up. Anyway, so leave us a 5-star review and come see us on the road. Thanks everyone for coming out to the Manisquan Algonquin Theater.
This will be out by then, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It was great.
Fun show. I can't believe.
We added 4 shows.
Yeah, and I can't believe that lady blew me. See us on the road. See us on the road and subscribe to the YouTube and just tell your friends.
That's right. And we're doing a live pod at Skankfest. So if you are planning to be in Vegas for Skankfest, come on out to that. It's going to be hilarious. So many guests since we have this fucking...
I'm sure this year it'll be up last against minute. Big J's special taping.
Right. But we packed it out. I mean,
packed
it was
out
like...
even with Big J's special taping.
So yeah, it was totally full. And we got a lot of really great guests. And you can actually watch that live episode on our YouTube right now.
Totally. Yeah, check that out. Feeny, what do you got?
Go ahead. I'm cold.
Okay. In October, I'm going to be in fucking Michigan at Mount Clemens, Michigan in Emerald Theater. That's October 6th. October 7th, 2 shows in Columbus, Ohio at the Attic Comedy Club. I think Chappelle's going to be there actually tonight. That's a new spot in Columbus. I've heard it's great. LA, I'm going to be in October, Levittown, you name it. A lot of dates coming in. Washington, D.C., Mike Cannon Comedy. Yeah.
October 7th, the Den Theater. For the love of God, stop making me promote this. Let's just sell it out and I'll never have to mention it again. October 7th, the Den Theater, Chicago. Tell your friends. Chicago. Buy tickets right now, Mike. Yeah. comedy.com or thedentheater.com. You can also see me coming. I have more dates coming up on mikefeeneycomedy.com. I just posted a bunch, or by then I will have. Anyway, those. Go subscribe to my YouTube, youtube.com/mikefeeneycomedy. And thanks for being a friend.
And this Saturday, I'm in Seattle at the Hereafter or Hereafter, whatever it's called. I want to say the...
Here 242.
So come on out to that. Tickets are available right now at my website, brendanseigel.com.
Yeah.
Nicole.
Nicole C. Lines on Instagram. Subscribe to the YouTube at Here's the Scenario.
Nicole, tell us your latest revelation.
Yeah.
My latest revelation?
Yeah.
Well, I feel like one of the hard things that, other than like, you know, redefining success, one of the hard things is that like video editing used to be my hobby.
Mm-hmm.
So it used to be like a creative thing for me that made me feel really happy and fulfilled. But since making it like my full-time job, it makes me feel, I don't know, I like dread opening my computer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it, which like, I don't know, it kind of feeds into the cycle of like not being able to be creative, I guess. It kind of sucks.
Doesn't like, it make you feel like there's almost no avenue to happiness?
Right.
Yeah, but yeah. I mean, that's kind of why I'm like, I mean, I think I'm really like in the same mental zone as you guys where it's like trying to check in with myself and be like, I don't know, like if I could send a picture of what I'm doing right now to myself even just a couple years ago, I'd freak the fuck out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like, but it's so hard to take those moments and like feel good about it because you're constantly hustling towards like,
because you're,
right.
you're in it. You're in it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like,
but you're a greyhound chasing the mechanical rabbit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
2 weeks ago, I was in a terrible place. But now it's like
his house.
But now I'm like, it's such a great, like, life, it really does come in waves.
No, it just ignores it. Just keep going. Keep on going.
Yeah. But it's, but now it's like,
I'm just happy that there was a laugh.
Yeah.
I feel like I've just been so
I like it.
Sensitive.
I like it. In fact, we'll get back to what you're saying, but the non-laughs make the laughs that we can get out of it.
It's like Sopranos.
Exactly.
In that
bigger.
Way. We are Sopranos. We've already had a podcast that was Sopranos. This is Breaking
Bad. This is Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
And I'm the retarded kid.
Walt Jr.?
Yeah.
He wasn't retarded.
Yeah, he had something.
Cerebral palsy?
Cerebral palsy. Yeah.
Dude, Metzger called him Elbows McStutter Crutch, and I almost shit my pants.
Sorry, though. What were you saying? That's so
know.
Funny.
I lost it.
You're saying you were in a bad place.
Yeah, but then it's just like a lot of that does come from like being like either overwhelmed or having too much. Like I said, I found like recently like that just organizing things and like task and like, you know, the making lists of the thing, which sounds so simplistic, it really does help like the stress and anxiety levels of being like, oh, okay. It's like, it is this weird thing of like, it breaks down the little baby steps of being like, oh, okay. That even when you're like, ah, shit, I did. Cause I'm constantly feeling like at the end of it, before I had Leo, it was a regular thing of being like, there just simply isn't enough hours in the day. That's all there is to it. There'll never be enough hours to get everything I need to get accomplished in a given day. Now it's like 1/8 of that time that I have. And I still feel that way. But weirdly enough, I'm getting more done now because I'll see during, I have a laser focus on the things that I'm trying to do when I have the windows to do it. And I feel significantly more accomplished because I don't feel like I'm like kind of drifting aimlessly, like, oh, maybe I'll do a little bit of this. Maybe I'll do a little bit of this. Now I'm like, no, this is what I'm working on right now. That's 100% of my focus and nothing else needs to matter as much. And it truly does help. And you can apply that to your regular life, people. All you civilians out there.
all you coal miners.
All you normies. Right.
all you normies.
There's nothing worse than hearing comics like,
talking like they're like, fucking Green
like
Berets.
Legitimately talk like that because I knew you were being ironic, but it's like legitimately being like, yeah, like Green Berets being like, you civilians.
Yeah, I'll have
like,
a beer with a civilian after a show every once in a while again.
Oh my God, it's so fucking brutal.
Yeah.
That's what I love about it though. Like the comedy, like the good part of it is like, for me, it's like getting to travel, getting to see new places, especially places I would never go. And then like meeting people from all walks of life and like, and just even like, again, like having a drink with like people at the bar after the show or something like that is like, you know, for every lunatic fringe weirdo that comes up, there's always like,
I even like those.
Yeah, I'm
me
saying,
too.
Like, you get stories out of those. You get like life experience. You know what
you
I mean?
Ever meet, you ever meet
I'm
people?
I'm a fringe weirdo.
Yeah, of course you are. You ever meet people after a show and you're just like,
wait a minute.
That was a fast and hard.
Yeah,
agreement.
Yeah, yeah. Stop me anytime. Man. Come on. I'm a fringe loser who's never gonna.
That's right. But you ever meet like somebody or a group of people after a show that are so fucking preposterous that you're just like, nobody else has my life. Like nobody that I know that I grew up with or that I've been around could possibly understand understand even what just happened to me in the last 5 minutes.
Right.
It's fucking people, nuts.
There's like, you know,
oh, I have a great story for this in particular.
Exactly, yeah.
I was finally
that was
seen.
In Portland.
this is a great, so we all experience this as comics, right? Of somebody that we don't know taking a shot at us because we're comedians,
right?
And it's just part of it. It's totally fine, right? So this guy, I was at B-Tags' house and we're having a great like family part, like Crew's there, Nicole's there, families are around. We're having a good time. I'm not comedian Mike. I'm family Mike with my best friends having a great time. I'm standing next to this absolute fucking shit stain of a man that B-Tags is friends with, or somebody's friends with. He's got like parted to the side hair that somehow thins both here and at the ends. Like it's like a fucking, it's like when a dandelion gets lit on fire. It's fucking nuts. So he
explodes.
He sucks. And he's standing there looking like a fucking, like just a bait, like an absolute beta male Webster dictionary, right? And I was talking to Tim, I was Rothschild, and I'm like, this guy, man, he's just been like pecking at me for the last like 10 minutes. I don't know what is going on.
He's probably the funny guy in his group of
friends. He wasn't. He's actually the asshole. I found out he's the fucking asshole.
Oh,
and
really?
I found out
sometimes
at a wedding he got tackled through a fucking a table at a wedding. So as I say that, right, my friend's wife, who is a TV producer, introduced me to a friend, and she's like, she's been so nice about excitedly introducing me about like, oh, this is Mike, he's a comic, he's doing great, blah blah blah. And the woman was the wife of Shit Dick, and so she's like, nice to meet you. And the guy's like, yeah, I've been hanging out with him for a while. He hasn't said a funny thing yet.
Oh, there's so many of those.
And I
like,
just
comedian, not very.
And
funny.
I literally, yeah. I looked at him, and I just looked at Tim, and I go, do you see what I'm saying? I go,
wow,
you saw that, right?
Great.
And Tim goes, I can't believe that just happened. I was like, I told you, dude, there are people that are just fucking assholes.
Yeah.
And I'm just saying this like he's right here and I'm talking to him. I'm like, there are people that just don't know how to behave socially and they're just fucking assholes. And he's like, I've never seen that before. He's like, you just brought it up and it just happened. I was like, I've never been seen like that.
It's a good move. It's definitely a good move to like do that. I tried to do that to a crazy person, which was a mistake.
Yeah.
You can't do that. Cause I like, there was me and Jess were on the subway and there was just a guy like gawking her. And I was like, well, what do I do here? I can't really, you know? So I just, and she noticed it and I turned to her and I was like, men are so fucking crazy, dude. Like it sucks that you have to deal with like shit like that.
Fucking white knight.
Yeah. Well, I was white knighting in a very sinister reason. Mm-hmm. I wasn't like, I'm going to make her feel good.
You posted
You
posted a live blog on the train.
Exactly. And he literally like turned to me and he's like, yeah, I do that. Like he like called my bluff basically. And I was like, oh brother, signed up
for
boxing lessons.
You should have just been like, why?
Yeah.
Why though?
I don't want to catch myself being like, and then I'm asking the drug addict why.
It is funny though, because I think it's just the nature of our, I find myself like never bringing up that I do comedy unless like, and even when I'm asked, it's like, because it always results in someone, a lot of times I will say it's like, 9 out of 10 times is met with like excitement. Like a lot of people are like, oh, fuck, that's all. You know what I mean?
It used to be special though, but now people are like, me too.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, so I also have a YouTube channel.
I'm also on TikTok. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, I'll follow you. What's your account? Oh, you have 55,000 followers. Like, I do toilet paper reviews and I have 675,000.
Right. Well, it's like, I just noticed, like, you know, like when I, in the jiu-jitsu place that I go, it's like everybody, like I don't, there's a few people who go there that like know me from like comedy, you know what I mean? But like, but I never like talk about, because everybody that goes there for the most part are like police officers, firemen, military guys, and they all like,
they're all actually badass.
And they have like a camaraderie of being like, I just got off like an 18 hour and I got to go back on in 3. And like, they're all, you know, like Bill. And so they're never like, Mike, what do you do? You know, like it doesn't, and I'm not going to inject it into things. Cause one guy, I was like leaving and he's like, dude, he's like, I saw your thing. Like I saw you on a poster. Like when I was going to LA, I like some, you know, like Santino or Bobby Lee shared a poster of a lineup that I was on with him. And he's like, I was like, that's how I fucking know this guy. This is fucking all. And I'm like, oh, cool, man. He's like, how come? He's like, I was like, oh, I just don't like talk about it. And he was like, oh, do you like not want people to know? I'm like, no, I don't tell anybody. I was like, I just am not going to walk around being like, hey, hey, I do jokies. It's like,
right. I'm not just going to jiu-jitsu in a Comedy Cellar t-shirt.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it is a very funny thing though, because then it's like, you know, it is also fun when people, the state of comedy now, people are like, oh fuck, like, you know.
So you like can't say anything.
They're like, but I don't like, even get
I have and
as,
it ruined me.
Yeah. And I will again.
And I can't stop now.
But it is fun to see, like, and I don't ever like take this personally. I do like really enjoy to see like certain people, like, you know, some of like the fireman guys, like, do you fucking like, you ever like do anything with like Shane, you know, like Shane, you know, right, it's so funny. And you're like, yeah, man, I know him pretty well, you know? And then like, he's right. Like, whoa. And it's like, for us, it was like growing up and be like, oh, you like, you've got to like do shows with Bill Burr and like, yeah, and Rock. Like,
you know that guy?
And now it's like, you know, Schultz and you know, fucking Shane. And it's like, yeah, dude.
Yeah. Like, and I'm like, yes. And I'm also a person. Please, for God's sake.
And I do it too.
And I do it too. Yeah, it's funny. Like, we really are the only job, I guess, where people come up to us and they're like, you fat fuck. You're like, what? And like, I listen to the show. You're like, you're going to lead with insulting me?
Well, dude, that, I don't know about you, and Cannon saw this firsthand, but at Gankfest last year, there were a few kratomed out crazies that kratomed out kooks.
Right.
Crazy kratom.
I mean,
kooks.
You saw it with me too.
Yeah.
Yeah, where people were like trying to like nag me in person, and I just was like, no. Remember that one dude was like, hey, he's like making fun of me and then tried to fist bump me, and I was like, absolutely not, get away from me. And he's like, oh, you can't. And I was like, no, dude, why? And then he tried to like come over to you. He's like, no, he doesn't fuck. And you're like, no, dude, like, get out of here.
He's my friend.
Yeah. And he's just like,
you're like, meet me later. I'll
got a lot to tell you.
It's so funny though when people just have that thing of like, I get it, like, you're, it's very voyeuristic. Like, I think I'm good friends with Conan O'Brien by listening to his podcast. Yeah, you know what I mean? And I know if I met him, we would really get along. But I understand.
Conan would hate me.
I don't think so.
The opposite.
I would, I would jump at the opportunity to do just about anything with
him. Yeah, it would take me a lot to not be hugging him.
Yeah, I will get a hug, and I will be forcibly removed from the premises.
So I'd walk in, just be like, "What's that called? Monorail?"
And he goes like,
"Yes."
Aha.
Yeah.
Yes.
This sucks.
Yeah. Goes right back into the green room, shuts the door.
But that used to be my goal.
Just be escorted off the lot.
One of my main goals in life used to be to get on Conan. Not even Letterman. It was to get on Conan,
totally,
so that I could meet and hang out with Conan. Now it's like I just want to get high enough where I can get on Conan's podcast. It's actually a much bigger show.
that's what's cool about Aziz, and I heard this, was Aziz was offered, this is when Fallon, before he had the Tonight Show, I guess he was offered like his first late night spot on Fallon, and he's like 2 years into comedy, and he goes, no, I'm gonna break on Conan.
Wow.
Like, he knew that much where he was like, no, I'm not gonna do Fallon, I'm gonna actually like debut on Conan.
And not only that, now he has leverage. He can like he can like show the Conan people, he's like, look, I want to fucking break on your show, but the Tonight Show,
I mean, he was already everybody was trying,
I'm gonna break on Conan.
I was just talking to him about, because I was like, I heard you used to perform at Ha, which was like the first club that I ever got past at, and that was always the legend, was like, oh, like Aziz just like stopped working here like a year ago. You know, like he's like getting like, and this was 2008 or 9 or something. And I was like, and I asked, I was like, is it true you used to perform at Ha? And it was just like, and he like had that thing of being like,
he saw like a Vietnam flashback.
That was my old life.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Where he's like, I go up to Aziz.
Who are you and what do you know?
It's like Mad Men. I go up to Aziz. I'm like, Arlo? And he's like, no one's told me that name in years.
It's like, you know, my name is Andrew.
Yeah. So I was like, so it's one of those fun things of like, I knew about his like up where he was like, yeah, dude.
I thought you went Arlo. Yeah. Went Andrew.
I know. Arlo is very fun.
I thought his real name was Andrew. I was like,
picked the whitest name or just like non-cultural.
But it
name.
Is, it was a fun, and he did. He did start there.
No shit.
He started there and he was like, I was just trading war stories of that. That's a good thing about comedy. We can, and that's why comics like talking comedy with other comics, is that every comic, whether you're a fucking middle feature in the middle of the country.
He goes, whether you're a middle, he points right at me, whether you're a middle.
You're a middle. Or
whether road dates are tough, or whether you're getting dates and you're selling them out.
Yeah, yeah. Or you're desperately.
Or you're doing good.
Either or. Every comic can talk that language of like,
yeah.
Oh, dude, I did, you did fucking, state theater. State College, PA, and you're like, yeah, I've done shows in PA.
What was it? That's the Ramada Inn. State College, PA, and that Ramada Inn where all the football teams that went and played Penn State would stay. And so it's like huge. And in the middle, they have that almost like arboretum or what is it? It almost looks like an estuary. It's like a dome, but it has all the flags of all these schools that came to play there. So it's like kind of cool. And then you get to your room and it's a murder scene.
Yeah, it's like a haunted old hotel.
Yeah,
I've never done this.
That was the one room that I took a video of this, I think it came out very funny.
I had a bug zapper in my room.
I went into my room.
My God.
And went into the bathroom. And there was inside the bathroom, there was a second door that connected to another room.
Mm-hmm.
And the person, the bathroom door on my side had a chair wedged underneath the door to prevent someone from getting. That's how I walked into the room and went into my bathroom, and there was like wedged underneath, like someone's banging it down to get in.
Oh my God.
I had to sleep there.
Holy shit, that's fucking terrifying.
And then I left that day, and who else was on that show with me? That comic, Mike
Bolton?
No, what's his name?
Michael Bolton? The singer?
He got into a horrific car accident on the way home.
I remember this story. You told this story.
And then he got stuck up there for like a week. And what then he was in like the hospital.
Like Sullivan or something?
Mike, it's close, but it's something like that. Yeah. But he's a really nice
guy. Well, RIP.
Yeah.
Sorry about your death.
And I think that's the show, everybody. Because we got to be out by 4:30, right?
That's right.
Should we do one question?
Let's do one question. Let's end on a question.
Yeah. Peas
well,
masses.
Hopefully you guys enjoyed that conversation. Obviously, I'm insecure about it, but I think it was cathartic and necessary for the three of us to have.
Comments weren't going to get better we did.
True. Maybe there's some like blind spots of us being like crying about comedy and people are like working in a minefield or whatever.
I'm sure.
But
I don't think we were ever like
a minefield.
Who are our listeners?
Farmers in Iraq.
One thing that I think is insufferable about comedy podcasts, which when comedians talk about comedy, which I don't think we did at all, is complaining about comedy and social media and PC culture. Because that's all what everybody hates listening to.
I don't
think we did any
of
that.
Mental health.
Look, this is like an episode that I would listen to when I was younger, so whatever.
It's a very special episode of Here's a Scenario
Podcast. That's another thing.
Hi, I'm Mike Cannon. I play Zach Morris on TV.
We should put a thing after the show's over and be like, we learned a lot today.
Well, yeah, somebody should deliver it, and then we come in from the sides and be like, and that's right. Tune in next week and turn your
say
guns
no
in.
To drugs.
Little Richie from Family Matters walks in.
All right, this one comes from MW. Here's the college scenario. Heard on an earlier episode that Cannon went to Geneseo, and my boyfriend and I just graduated from there last year.
Hey.
Young guns.
Out of the three, who's the one most likely to transfer schools for a girl, drop out for a different lifestyle, or graduate with honors? Burp.
I did graduate in honors.
Did you? I would say I have an associate's in honors, and then I have my Geneseo thing, which I think I've talked about on the show, but I graduated from Geneseo in 07, and then a year later, I didn't walk because my parents were going through a bitter divorce at the time, so I couldn't possibly want to gather my family in one place, and a year or 18 months later, I was sent a letter to my mom's house saying that actually I'm 3 credits short and the 3 credits are public speaking.
That's hilarious.
Wow. So I don't have my bachelor's degree.
I've
lied about it
just
on
send
every
them
resume.
All your
I have. I've emailed Geneseo and asked if I could actually pay for the credits and present. Like, I'll do a show. I'll do whatever.
Yeah.
And they were like, fuck you, dude. We don't give a shit. I'm like, I'm going to bury you on every platform I'm ever on. And they're like, yeah, right. And I'm like, I'm playing the long game.
It is funny because I really am like a person who I'm like, I did 2 of those 3 things where I graduated early for a girl instead of dropping out. It was like, I was with Erica at that point. So I graduated in 3 years instead of 4. So I took like.
Is she older than you?
Year older. Yeah. She was a sophomore. So I graduated. I took like extra classes. Like, and then took classes during the winter and then the summer. So I caught up. But I also was like, I want to be fucking out of college and go into the real world. Like, the whole like college, like, we're just sitting and drinking for 5 years. I saw that as like a waste of my time. I wanted to get done with school and start fucking living a life in New York City.
I should have just done comedy. Geneseo was such a fucking waste of time.
See,
I'm glad you had a good time. I had a good time. It was such a fucking waste of
See, for me, I don't think it was a waste either because I learned how to edit there. You know what I mean? Like, I learned, like, but I also went to school for, like, TV and journalism. So it's like, that actually helped. I mean, it would have been awesome if I went to, like, an NYU writing,
tish.
Movie writing, yeah. Tish kind of a thing. But, yeah. You know.
I got more TV production, radio production, and all that shit experience from Rockland Community College than I ever did from Geneseo. The only thing that I really loved at Geneseo was I learned First Amendment law. That was one of the communications classes I took. And as a comedian, that's fucking awesome.
That's great.
You learn the difference between, like, malice and whatever. Yeah. You know, so I'm grateful for, but I guess I did my first open mic, but I more or less just pissed money away to get blackout drunk and I stopped doing school. Like I just stopped. I stopped doing academics. I stopped doing homework. I would go to class like fucked up. I was like finished as a student. So
like Van Wilder.
Yeah. It was worse than that. It was like I had a 3.93 in community college in the honors program, which yields like Harvard, like they go to Harvard. And then I fucking had like a 1 like at Geneseo. They tried to boot me. It was crazy.
Van Wilder in like a shitty upstate New York college where it's like
so different.
Yeah, and he
ends up losing at the end.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, and all the girls are just fucking pigs.
Instead of his dad bailing him out, his dad rips a poster off his wall, causing him $800 in damages from the Meadows.
Is that true? That happened to you?
The day my fucking father picked me up. I know, the day this will be it. But the day my father picked me up from school, first of all, he did it begrudgingly. He did not want to do it. One, I found my fucking iron upside or down on my fucking floor completely on. So it burned, seared a hole in the carpet, cost me $1,500.
Oh my God.
And then my dad, I was like, hey, dude, like, let's be careful. This is my final poster. I couldn't peel it off. It had that little tack stuff.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, yeah, totally. And then, like, I guess he forgot. And the last thing is the poster. And he just goes, whoosh. And he ripped off the paint from the whole fucking wall.
No.
And it cost me like an additional $800 or something
Jesus
like that.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, those places fuck you over they bend you over a barrel.
And he's still feeling it. Join the Patreon, patreon.com/scenariopod. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Thank you. Love you. Bye. Scenario.